it wasn't about uranium. There was no Iranian threat. There was an Epstein threat. That's why we call it Epstein's Fury. That's the kind of the nickname, or Apex Fury, kind of the same thing. This is the dark underbelly that people don't, of influence that people don't want to talk about. Well, some people really want to talk about it, but the mass media hasn't really touched this. They're acting like, oh, it's fake news. It's the Democrat hoax. I've heard many excuses. Like, there's nothing fake about this. You have groups of billionaires that organize international human trafficking.
Good day, everybody. It's me, Just Steve Yang, here with Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And today I'm joined by Ryan Dawson again, host of the ANC Report, and an independent investigator who's been digging into events like 9/11 and the Epstein files long before they hit the mainstream. And today I'm curious about the Epstein files. I think Ryan came prepared with, based off his attire. How are you, Ryan?
I just wear this every day. No.
I wonder if there's a little bit of truth to that, because every time I see you, you got something on. But Ryan,
I've got something to offend anybody that's a criminal. But I put this on because I don't know. I didn't know if you'd seen it, and I figured you might ask me about it. Because I mean, they call it Epic Fury. This latest war is all the news, but there wouldn't be a war with Iran if there hadn't been Epstein. Like, it wasn't about uranium. There was no Iranian threat. There was an Epstein threat. That's why we call it Epstein's Fury. That's the kind of the nickname, or Apex Fury, kind of the same thing. This is the dark underbelly that people don't, of influence that people don't want to talk about. Well, some people really want to talk about it, but the mass media hasn't really touched this. They're acting like, oh, it's fake news. It's a Democrat hoax. I've heard many excuses. Like, there's nothing fake about this. You have groups of billionaires that organize international human trafficking, where children were groomed and raped or forced to service elitist pricks. There was some blackmail involved, but it's more of like a reward system for staying the course, a form of bribery.
Ryan, last time we got connected, we talked about the Iran war, and we had you had some great insights to share about that, and I do appreciate it. Inevitably, the Epstein files came up, and like you're talking about, you know, some people do link Epstein to bigger geopolitical issues like the U.S. tension with Iran and Israel. If you can tell me from your perspective, what's the real overlap there? I mean, some would say maybe we're just forcing a global narrative onto it, but if you can kind of tell us your angle and what you
Yeah, I think a lot of people saying it are just saying it because it's funny, and they just figure there's probably some overlap, but they can't back that up. And that's all right. Like, it's one thing we can say about this president, whether you love him or hate him, is he's been very good for meme culture. Nobody's generated more memes from 2016 on. I mean, the guy is just, I don't know if he's senile or what, some of the stuff he's saying on Truth Social, we're going to bomb you into the Stone Age and all this crazy stuff. But you can see the desperation, and you can see him get so mad when some news came out about his wife, Melania. You know, Melania was introduced, and we'll be generous and say introduced to Trump through his associates. And so a little background, prior to Epstein and his sexcapades and Maxwell, the daughter, not the father, prior to them, there were already some pedophile rings. It's that we can like say like John Casablancas in France. He had his own elite modeling, and this is the kind of model they model. He's considered the father of the supermodel. Now, there isn't really a clear line where you delineate where models became supermodels, but that kind of era of Claudia Schiffer, Cindy Crawford, Kathy Ireland, Stephanie Seymour, that group is considered the beginning of the supermodel, which really couldn't happen until you had TV and so on. And Claude actually dated Stephanie Seymour, who was a model for Victoria's Secret, owned by or will it get purchased by Lex Wessner, the backbone financier for Jeffrey Epstein? Now, he dated her when she was 14 years old, and he was way older. And this is a continued pattern with this guy, John Casablancas. And he had a partner, Gerard Marie, who's another pedophile. They're all pedophiles. And so when Jean-Luc Brunel starts his group out of Tel Aviv, which got moved to Paris, it was briefly called Karen Models, got changed to MC Squared or MC2. And he would provide girls to Epstein. There was a kind of a European pipeline to the Caribbean. They had a problem with visas and things. And that's where Trump's buddy would come in. And this is who helped get Melania her visa and actually acted as her modeling agent as well with these guys. Like, I call them Pervert Polly, we'll just say. And they worked with John and they worked with Trump. And Trump was actually a judge, along with David Copperfield, a fellow Epstein client, for Casablanca's modeling. He'd have contests, kind of like they weren't models yet, and they get to see who would win this and that. He'd have these pageants and stuff, and it became a very convenient excuse to hit all the bases of what you need for human trafficking. Like, you want good looking girls, they're models. Do you want underage girls? They're child clothing models, you know. And you'd see this again with Abercrombie and Fitch. Mike Jeffries, by the way, who's now in prison, hand selected also by Les Wexner, the owner of Victoria's Secret. But they have a division where they need 12, 13, 14 year olds to model their clothing for kids. So it gives you an excuse to bring people all over the world. It gives you a visa. You can say, hey, they're working as a model. And then it gives them proximity to all these elitists that they want to blackmail and entrap by having the models be at all these events. So it could be fashion show, or they could just have them as at parties as background, as, you know, they'd bring them in escorts and so on. And a lot of them were underage or barely of age. And this is just how the atmosphere was in the 80s and 90s. They would just, they all did it. And so they would target hedge fund managers, bankers, important people, not just politicians. In fact, AIPAC already owns the politicians. They would mostly go after the donor class, because if you get the donor class, you get everybody under them. So that's who you want to target. You want to make sure they're on board. And that, you know, that's what Epstein would go for. Now, Casablancas was just a pervert. But Trump created his own modeling agency. He bought out the Miss Teen Universe. And they would name it after, like, you'd think, like, Miss America. It's a very big pageant. So they created a Miss Universe, a Miss This, a Miss That. And it had the same kind of branding, although it had nothing to do with Miss America. People assumed it did. And then these groups would feed in, whatever. And it was disgusting. Trump bragged to Howard Stern, who is, for anyone who doesn't know, he's like this shock jock, weirdo radio host out of New York. He was an absolute pervert. He'd have hookers on his show and whatever. He got Trump to admit on his show that Trump was bragging him, saying, hey, I used to just go in the back in the changing room while they're all dressing, and I could get away with it because I'm the owner, you know. Say, oh, I'm doing an inspection. Is everything okay? And he would just walk in on underage girls. And he wasn't alone. And this is how he meets his wife. They'll say Epstein introduced them as, like, well, all of them are all at the same party, so you can't really know who was the first to introduce her to him or not, but they're all there together. And they'd all been doing this. And in fact, Epstein actually tried to buy Casablanca's elite modeling from him. He didn't get it, but that was something he attempted. And Trump was a judge at these events, and he's got his own company. And then they all got models from Brunel, and Jean-Luc Brunel was the number three guy in the Epstein ring. He would die in prison. He never got to go to trial, but he was definitely, definitely guilty. But he committed suicide in jail, allegedly by himself. And kind of reminiscent of what happened to Epstein. Supposedly he killed himself and broke bones in his neck, and somehow the cameras failed, the guards are asleep. what footage they have of the outside of his cell was spliced together. The camera in his cell wasn't on for some reason. It just, you're right. Yeah, with Burnell, it was less, they didn't even have cameras. They didn't bother. So they just, they're like, hang yourself. So he did. But the reason he got arrested was for human trafficking, rape. And he used to drug women too. He did the Hot Cosby thing. And best friends in all these pictures now with Glenn Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. So you see this, all the same perverts. And so like when people say, look, Trump's pictured with Maxwell or Trump's pictured with Epstein, like Trump was with Casablancas. Trump was with all these guys before Epstein ever got in the scene. Like he was doing it. He's the original. He didn't join Epstein. It was the other way around. Epstein got in through Maxwell and Trump. Epstein got introduced through by the Rothschilds to and by Maxwell to people like Prince Andrew and all these high rolling Europeans, and got his fix because he was a cutout anyway. Like the organized crime doesn't put the boss in the dirty part of recruiting women and all that, and nah. And but Epstein's problem was he dipped in his own stash. He groomed girls for himself, not just his clients, and that was his downfall.
A lot to soak in here. So, first of all, Ryan, you have been following the Epstein files for, I don't know, a good while. When did you first get pulled in, and what made you start digging deeper here?
So I was following Jean-Luc Burnell. Man, it was like in the night. There was a 60 Minutes piece about him. Like back when 60 Minutes used to do news. They don't now. But like they used to, you know, it had the thing. And there was this bit on this French man that was, you know, accused of international trafficking. And the girls look very young and da 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 da. And it sparked my interest as to why they would even cover this at all. And so I knew about him, and I knew about Claude Haddad and some of these other French fashion moguls. They're all sick in the head, and they don't even consider it wrong. They're like, age is just a number. Men have needs. We're plugging holes, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. And so I actually stumbled upon Burnell before Epstein. And I met a girl who was trying to tell me the whole thing on Cape Hatteras Island. They were down there vacationing. She had gotten out of it. Her brother helped her get out of it. She had a bunch of brothers, but one of them, and she was dating this guy in the martial arts who I knew, whatever, whatever. She told me this whole story, but it was so like, I'm like, really? You met, she was naming some important people. And I'm like, this just sounds like nuts, right? But it was so detailed. And it's just like some of the people she was talking about weren't, it's not like Bill Gates or super famous people. It'd be like, you know, pretty obscure hedge fund managers that just some nerd would know. There's no reason you'd say something about Glenn Dubin, for example. Like nobody, who cares? Like no girl her age knows who that is or anything about hedge funds or anything usually. So I was like, maybe, or you heard this story from someone else or something, it didn't line up. So I put a pen in it. And then when I came across the connection, the bridge with Burnell, who I knew was doing that, and I'd seen a 60 Minute piece on, you know, I'd seen like some officialdom on this, gave me more confidence. So I started digging. And I'm like, where is, this just seems like the biggest story in the world. Like, where's everyone else? Where's the press? It made me back then like lose confidence. Like, am I wrong? Because this is way bigger than Michael Jackson or any of the other, like, you know, sex stories. I think he was innocent, actually. There, what's going on? This is massive. This is everybody. This is the who's who of Wall Street, of everything. And then in 05, Epstein was under investigation. And the police chief there, they had a slam dunk case with 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. 16, 17, but the, you know, 14 is the worst. And it was like, oh, he's going to jail forever. But by 08, you know, he had the sweetheart deal. He fled to Israel. They told him to go back. They gave all his cohorts immunity. It was the worst thing ever. And Burnell was involved in that, and Maxwell was involved in that. And say, I had already known about Les Wexner and the Wexner Foundation because I did this movie about how Israel stole uranium from the United States. And in that story where they stole highly enriched uranium out of Apollo, Pennsylvania, I knew all these characters, and Zalman Shapiro and so on, and how they had set up something called the Sonneborn Institute, sometimes called the Sonneborn Group, at a Hotel 14 in New York. And it's Anastasia and Lansky and all the usual mob crooks that people do know. But lesser known was these like Nathan Bernstein and Ted Kulik and Hillel Silver, and these guys that ended up, they were running Haganah and gathering money from the U.S. and Canada to give to the Israeli terrorists. They're not Israeli yet. Israel didn't exist yet. But the groups that would form the first government of Israel, Ben-Gurion, who became the first prime minister, they're all involved in Haganah, Burchell and Palmach, Stern Gang, and so on. And they used organized crime to get millions of dollars. And one of the cliques in there that they started was the Wexner Foundation. And the founder of it, that came straight out of the UJA, the United Jewish Appeals, which has changed names like 50 times, was Rabbi Herbert Friedman, who was the very first president of the Wexner Foundation. It goes directly to Sonneborn and Jewish terrorists, Jewish organized crimes. That, they did the Nakba in Palestine, pushed out 700,000 people off their land, really nasty stuff, really horrible guys. This is the beginning of Wexner. You think Wexner's 88 years old. So he's kind of the bridge. He's one of the last ones that was there for both things. Like, he was young then, he's old now. Everyone else, I mean, Ben-Gurion's dead, all these other people are dead, but he was the one of the ways they would wash money. Where it's disgusting, they'd move money through Jewish charities, Holocaust charities, and who right in the 1950s is going to go after Holocaust charity right after World War II? Nobody. You know, it's political suicide. And it's unfortunate because you have a legitimate charity about a horrible event, but they were using it to move money to terrorists to push out Palestinians, and it was just, they were politically untouchable. Because the Holocaust had, I mean, that was massive, and it was massive for the United States in justifying the things they had done, because they had nuked Japan twice. Those are Holocaust. But they were like, well, look, the Germans did something worse. They did this and this and that. So it was just became this like electric rail that you couldn't go near. You couldn't criticize at all. We're like, well, they are laundering money, and that is illegal. Like, it has nothing to do with the Holocaust. It's just a theme they're using to protect themselves from criticism. And it was just there to annex land from other indigenous people who they are Holocausting, and end up really Holocausting in the last few years after October 7th. Anyway, they were moving this money around. So I was following around Wexner then, in the Wexner Foundation. And I knew that they used that organization to push money into Ehud Barak, which was also an Israeli prime minister. He's a former prime minister of Israel, also defense minister, nasty guy. Pictures of him outside of Epstein's mansion. It's like, why does Epstein have access to all of these Israeli high-level presidents and prime ministers? And then you see his cohort with Maxwell, and you realize her father was an asset, not an agent, a Mossad asset that they had used to capture Mordechai Vanunu, the whistleblower on Israel's illegal nuclear program, who they threw in solitary confinement. And the way they caught him was by using an Italian girl as a honey trap, the same, you know, sexual bait to grab a guy that used to work in Dimona, because Israel builds nukes in the Negev, and he took pictures of the warheads. It all came out, but Robert Maxwell's son, that he owned a British paper, got wind of it, narked on him, told the Israelis, they arrested him. Now, that all goes right back to the film I'm making on nuclear weapons. So I'm just following this along. And I was able to find all of Epstein's premier financiers and things and know how deeply tied they were to the Israeli state, whereas other people worked backwards. They worked at the modern stuff and say, well, Acosta said he was tied to intelligence. It's probably Israel. Yeah. Or they'd say, well, Maxwell is Robert Maxwell's daughter and he worked for Israel. Like, yeah, that's some, but it's way worse than that. I mean, these guys have been financing Jewish organized crime in the United States and Canada for 70 years. This has been going on. And the Wexner Foundation, it's just a who's who. The Bronfmans moved money through there. The Bronfmans financed the Nexium cult. The Bronfmans sold a house to Robert Miller, who raped hundreds of girls in Canada. He's now in prison. He's a pedophile, too. He was raping middle school girls. It was disgusting. They call him the bathtub bandit. He had a custom-made bathtub in a hotel that he had for his threesomes. Disgusting. I also worked with the French. I don't know why the French are always involved. This is Quebec French, not France, but they're always like into these kiddie porn, whatever. I think part of it is they won't do extradition treaties. So that's where they run. They go to France or Israel when a pedophile wants to get away. That's where they go, and they're safe. It's disgusting. So it was so much overlap, and it was even Richard Branson, who's also in the Epstein files, another billionaire, he's got a private island. He hosted Nexium parties on his island where they branded women like you brand a cow, like with a hot poker.
Permanent?
Put his initials. Yeah, they'd brand them, scar them, right, like on their crotch. And dude.
The virgin Richard Branson.
Yeah. Richard Branson allowed Keith Raniere, French, to host parties for the Nexium cult on his island, knowing goddamn well what they did. And he even gave Jeffrey Epstein advice on how to spin it after he got arrested the first time. It's really funny because you see Noam Chomsky, Richard Branson, who are completely different, right? And Steve Bannon. You can't get more polar than Steve Bannon and Noam Chomsky, right? Like far left, far right. And then Branson was just like a hedonist, whatever. But all of them were Epstein buddies, and all of them giving advice on how to spin his arrest and you know, what to say to the press and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and Epstein found a niche. He went down to the Virgin Islands, very small government. He's, you know, he's got Wexner money, so he's basically a billionaire. And he just bribed them into reducing all of his punishment. They said he's a registered sex offender, but they go, well, if you want to leave and go somewhere, rather than having to give 2 weeks notice, they shrank that down to 24 hours. There's emails to prove this. They are emailing him asking if the language in the bill was what he wanted, you know, it's so bad. And he was using, this is, and Denise George, the attorney general down there, blew the whistle on this, got fired for doing it, by the way, but she's a G. He was using the Virgin Island University there in St. Thomas to get student visas for girls who weren't actually going to school and weren't actually students, but they would give them a visa so they would be able to come and work and do what they were really doing, which was acting as his ladies of the night for clientele. And yeah, that's just disgusting. They never spent even one day at the university, but that was one of the ways he was getting visas. He had bribed the first lady, put her on a $200,000 a year salary. So he didn't bribe the governor. He bribed his governor's wife. You know, he gave her some bullcrap job at, you know, as a desk at 200 grand a year. He bribed the one senator, he bribed the one representative, Stacey Plaskett, who is still on trial, by the way. That's still ongoing. And because she screwed up and went to him in New York and asked for money, which puts her out of South Florida and out of the sweetheart deal, so they could go after her, and they did. And New York was kind of serendipitous after the Me Too thing, which you could argue went too far the other direction. But one of the good things that came out of that is they got rid of the statute of limitations nonsense for things like rape. They're like, nah, like if you rape a kid, that's there, that doesn't like run out of time. So they were able to go back and or and get it. And what they're getting them on is the financing of it, paying hush money, all these red flags that JP Morgan should have seen, that Deutsche Bank should have seen, now Bank of America. Bank of America is going to have to pay out about $72.5 million. The sentencing's in August, but it's like already been decided last month. Like, so that's an addition that happened this year, like all the rest of it in the last few years. But you add them all up, it's hundreds of millions of dollars these banks have had to pay just for ignoring all these red flags, all these cash payments to girls every month. He's paying them off. He had them sign NDAs and he'd pay them hush money. And this continued even after Epstein was dead. Darren Endike and Richard Kahn, his two lawyers exercising his will, are still moving money around. And despite the lawsuits, despite the payouts, they don't care. So they've been subpoenaed and they got to go to do a congressional hearing and talk to Thomas Massie and the rest of them in August. We'll see if they show up. The Clintons got subpoenaed. It was awful. Like Bill Clinton's like licking the paper, looking at pictures of him, these young girls like, let me see that again. His lawyer's trying to take it away from him and he grabs it. No, let me see it. So disgusting. But then the Iran war hit and it was like, that's that. And Hillary and Bill, they had no good explanations for what they were doing and why they're going to all these parties and so on. And we know Bill with Monica Lewinsky and all that mess and Jennifer Flowers when he was governor. He's a lecherous pervert. He's the president of the United States. He's hanging out with child trafficker Jeffrey Epstein and child trafficker Glenn Maxwell and child trafficker Jean-Luc Brunel. And they want to act like, no, he didn't do anything. Of course he did. Of course, he also burned Americans to death at Waco and starved to death 100,000 Iraqis a year with his sanctions. He did worse things than his sexual improprieties. He's a terrible president. But the war hits and it all went away. So lucky, right? The day that they testified, that day, right? February 28th is when Israel starts the war. And just the day before, they had been testifying, which they delayed. And they got threatened with contempt of Congress. So they went in there and talked. They had no good answers. Les Wexner got subpoenaed and he just went in there and bullshitted them the whole time. He doesn't care. He's got one foot in the grave. He's in his 80s, almost 90s. He doesn't care. So we'll see if we can get to the bottom of it with the lawyers, but I don't think so. Like it took so long to release these. It's not a list. It's more like 3 million files, a lot of redundancy, and you'd kind of have to already know what the names were so you could go and search for them. So I provided that. And people find, like, if you look at the back of this, I put the first page of the client list right there. I was like, get them, Jess Staley, Glenn Dubin, Bill Clinton, all of them. This is the movers and shakers. Staley's been sued. He admitted to having sex with an Epstein employee, but she was like 20 or something. We're like, oh, you did worse than that. And because we have his internal emails, this is so disgusting. He had a Disney princess fetish. So, you know, like Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, whatever, like all those. It's kind of weird that Disney has a bunch of 16-year-olds with developed breasts and they push them in these movies, whatever. Ariel was 15 because she has her 16th birthday in The Little Mermaid and then she gets married, that whatever. He is in his emails bragging about banging Snow White. He says, I don't know if I can say this on YouTube, he went twice as soon as she put the outfit on. And in another email, Epstein's asking him, how was Snow White? And he answers with something lewd that I'm not going to say. And then Epstein says, who would you like next? And Staley says, maybe Beauty and the Beast. And Epstein's like, well, I don't know about the Beast, but I can provide the beauty. Dun-dun-dun. Gross. Howard Lutnick's bringing children to a sex offender's island, doesn't even try to defend it. He lied too. He's like, oh, I cut off all relations with him after he was arrested. No, you didn't. You were still associating with him all the way up until 2018. He got arrested in 2019. And we know this. We have the internal communications. He's like, you got me. Oh, well, yep. I was still friends with a sex offender. So what? Yeah, I brought some kids to his island. So what? I creepily named their ages in the email. It was him and another family, but they brought their own kids. Don't think for a second that that protects those kids. This is, these people do this all the time. Mr. Insider Trader, who's in the Trump administration, they're not getting any consequences. And a lot of them are because they were part of the sweetheart deal that gave them immunity. But abroad, you're seeing people like Peter Mandelson under investigation. The Labor Party essentially kicked him out. Now he's a homosexual, but he was, that is, they provided that too, you know. And he gave inside advice, financial advice to Jeffrey Epstein. So did Prince Andrew. And Prince Andrew was successfully sued, did have to pay out 16 million pounds. So whatever that is in dollars. And he's under investigation again. And even before the files were released in the United States, it seems like King Charles or somebody got a letter like kind of giving them a head start on it, what was about to come down, because they had some of his 2011 emails, which means after he was arrested, way after, and after he was released, between Prince Andrew and Epstein. And of course, Andrew knew Maxwell even before that. He's a lecherous. Actually, Prince Andrew, we shouldn't call him Prince. He's not a prince anymore. It took his title away. Andrew the pervert, we'll call him, also knew Peter Nygaard. Peter Nygaard, another, he's a Canadian billionaire that didn't own an island, but owned almost, he owned a big chunk of property on one of the Bahamas islands, and who got in a stupid property dispute with this guy, Bacon, who's a billionaire from North Carolina, whatever. It was so dumb. It was like they were both putting up bigger and bigger loudspeakers and blaring music into each other's yards. And it was like really sophomoric, asinine, dumb stuff. And it caught fire and whatever. And Sean Connery got involved in the middle of it. So funny, but whatever. Peter Nygaard used to have diaper parties. He was down with the brown. And I don't mean Africans, although he was into that too. He was down with the other brown. And he would have them... McAfee did the same thing. He'd have the girl be in a hammock so he could be under it. You know, there's those holes in the hammock, and they'd give him the old number two. I guess he had a good view. I don't know. Weird guy. He played volleyball and foosball. He was on all these steroids and SARMs and all these drugs to try and stay young. He had a mullet, but he liked to roll around in adult diapers and have people poo on him, and he had lots of underage girls, and he's in prison now. But Andrew the pervert not only hung out with Epstein, he hung out with Nygaard too. In fact, he was with his ginger wife on vacation for 6 days, and for three of the days he left her and went to hang out with Peter Nygaard, who's like 20 years older than him. Why? What else were they doing? You know, I don't know that Andrew went the hammock route. Andrew had a foot fetish. He was more into licking toes. Nygaard was into the anal stuff. But the point is, they all know each other. They all go to each other's islands, and it's just what they did. And now the heat's on. The spotlight's on them all. Miller's in jail. Nygaard's in jail. Epstein went to jail and died. Maxwell's in jail. Burnell went to jail and died. Harvey Weinstein's in jail. He did not have a human trafficking ring, but he had the kind of like casting couch type of do it or you don't get the role, you know, kind of power harassment, which is a form of rape. It's like not I mugged her in the street and raped her, but it's still like you're using your position to leverage sex out of girls. I consider that rape. It's on the spectrum. He belongs in prison. That's where he is. But he knew them too, and he knew Ehud Barak because he actually approached this group called Black Cube, which is a bunch of former Mossad agents, at the advice of Ehud Barak, who is an Epstein client, told him to go to Black Cube. And what Black Cube does is they'll go around and harass all your victims and try and get them not to press any charges or say anything or do anything. They'll go and dig up any closets, skeletons in the girls' closets, and come out with that. And that's what he did. I'm like, gee, how would you even know Black Cube exists? Like, why do you know Ehud Barak? Because they're all up in Hollywood. This isn't just some rich guy who's a pervert doing, this is an organization. This is what they do. And it's like an insurance policy. It's a way of keeping people in line, making sure they're always doing the pro-Zionist agenda, because they're all involved in this debaucherous, disgusting, kiddie fiddling crap. And it's like, you're not in the club unless you compromise yourself. And if you don't, then we're not, you're blackballed. We're not going to work with you. So most people think it's like, oh, they trick them and then they hold the blackmail over them and now they have to do it. No. That was very rare. These people are just into doing this stuff. And it's a way of saying, yeah, I'm one of you. It's kind of like initiating a gang. You know, they're like, shoot this guy, prove you're not a cop. Kind of like that.
Ryan, I got a couple questions here. One, you mentioned the date, February 28th. You mentioned it's almost sounding like the Iran war has a completely different agenda than what we're told. I'm very cynical about the
uranium.
I'm very cynical about the Iranian war anyway. How much legitimacy is there to natural resources?
Like, you know, right? Yeah, like stocks, crypto, all that's out because all these people in the UAE, Qatar, all these places, the first thing they're going to dump if they can't sell oil is these, wherever they're hedging things that I consider crypto like an asset in a way. Like, it's just like a hedge against inflation. They're going to dump their coins. They're going to dump their gold because they're so illiquid. They can't pay off their own debts. And a lot of them took out equity loans on property that's now worthless because tourism to Dubai is at the minimal, right? And so all these people talk about the petrodollar and all this nonsense. I'm like, dude, no, it doesn't matter that doesn't matter. It's what they do with the reserves afterwards, which is buy U.S. bonds, buy debt, buy treasuries. That's what has an impact. And so you're just seeing gold, crypto, all of it got gutted because of the Iran war. And if people knew this war was coming, they would have gotten ahead of that. And I don't know how anyone could not know it was coming. It was true promise four. They attacked them four times, right? They attacked them in June. They attacked them in October. They attacked them in April. And then they finally attacked them at the very end of February. And you could know. It was like, look, the U.S. is moving aircraft carriers into the sea. What else are they doing with those? You know? And that's what's happening right now. They've got the Bush, the Ford, and the Lincoln just sitting there. They've been moving refuelers, which you don't need unless you're going to use your Air Force. So they're going to do it again. And I'm like, guys, you had an opportunity last time when they're playing market yo-yo. This war could start this week. I hope not, but it could be that soon. So get ahead of the curve. But anyway, you're asking me. I'm sorry I interrupted. I guess
this is
so important, the war in Iraq, Iraq and Iran. And it is the PMU's attacking bases in Iraq. This is also in Lebanon. Like, it's all of that. The whole area is on fire.
So this is am I hearing you say that the war in Iran is primarily a distraction? And if you can nuance that for me a bit, if I'm off.
Well, it's not, they didn't do it just to distract from the Epstein files. They were going to go to war with Iran, whether these files got released or not. That was always the plan. But I think the timeline got sped up because they needed to get rid of the tension on the Epstein files. They had already had a script. We're going to Iraq. We're going to Libya. We're going to Syria. They spelled it out. It was in Netanyahu's book, everything they wanted to do. There's this kind of infamous scene with General Clark he's talking about when he was at the Pentagon, a guy comes from upstairs, which is the planning policy room, from Richard Perle, and says, man, we're going to invade 7 different countries in 5 years. And he lists them all. And it's all the ones we've been invading. The timeline, it was much longer, but because the Iraq war didn't go so well, they kept fighting and fighting. Syria, they couldn't get boots on the ground, so they sponsored Al-Qaeda. They went into Libya, killed Gaddafi, civil war in Sudan. All this is according to script. Israel wants to annex land, as they did in the West Bank, and as they will do in Gaza, and as they did in Syria, and they're planning to do it in Lebanon. And Iran is the resistance. Iran's the one that sponsors Hezbollah. Iran sponsors the Houthi. And so they want to knock out Iran so that there will be no one left in the way for them to ethnically cleanse their neighbors and steal all their territory. You're like, that's insane. You can't just kill people and take their stuff. Like, yes, you can. That's what they've done in Palestine, and that's what they've done in Syria, and that's what they want to do in Lebanon, and the world isn't doing anything about it. There's no sanctions on Israel. There's no punishment to Israel. They're not, like, with Russia and Ukraine, they even banned the Paralympics, Russian athletes, like, which is stupid. They have nothing to do with the war. They went all out on sanctions on Russia. But when Israel kills kids, that's okay. Because Israel's got the dirt on our politicians raping little girls. And that's why they call it Epstein Fury. It's these people, like Lutnick's in the administration. Dershowitz, Epstein's personal lawyer, is giving advice to Trump. He himself, out of his own mouth, said the blockade and the blockade was my idea. This stupid blockade of the Strait of Hormuz is from Epstein's lawyer. That's who he's listening to, not the admirals, not the generals, not the military professionals, but Epstein's lawyers.
Ryan, if you can give me your opinion on, first of all, I'd love to know your opinion on Epstein's death. Suicide, foul play, something else entirely different. And then I'd love to get your thoughts on just the list coming out, the transparency or the lack of, if you think that's going to change, and what's holding everything back. I mean, and how can the American people seek out justice? Or not just American people.
He was murdered.
I mean, everybody. I mean, this is pretty high up.
His operation was out of the U.S., so I get it. But, like, he raped people from everywhere. I think he was murdered. I think that was easy to know that he was going to be murdered. I said, this is not going to trial. They're going to kill him. They're going to figure out someone's just going to outright prisoner's just going to kill him. Oh, my. Or they're going to make him kill himself, whatever, and blame it on, you know, suicide, not assisted. He had been attacked by his cellmate prior to his death, where he was hospitalized. And Epstein said himself that Tartaglione attacked me. He tried to kill me. Then he changed his story. And his roommate said, oh, I just found him there in the fetal position. I guess he injured himself. Why is Epstein saying you attacked him then? He gets put on suicide watch and then taken off suicide watch. I think the first time was a warning. Shut your mouth. And you're going to sign your money away into this blind trust, which he did. It's called the 1953 Trust. But Epstein was very clever, because he chose a man named Boris Nikolic as one of the guys to implement his will. Why? This is a guy that works for Microsoft and Bill Gates. Like, well, what is this Russian-American guy? Why? How do you know him? And why is he one of your top? He chose 3 people to implement his will, and he put him on there. Because then investigators could look into Boris and, you know, unravel a lot. He knew they were going to kill him. And then you look at the manner of the death. His own brother did a second autopsy. So people are like, oh, he's alive and he escaped. You're like, well, they have his corpse, and 2 different pathologists saw it. And he is buried next to his parents. His own brother saw the corpse and did an autopsy where the pathologist, who's a friend of Larry Johnson, who you know, because that's who introduced us, or they know each other at least, he found broken bones in the neck, which is not typical of suicide. That's like strangulation, like somebody really violently yanking you around. He found the broken bones in his neck. And yet there's bottles and stuff on the bunk on the top of the bed that didn't fall off and weren't disturbed. Like none of the physical evidence matches up the story of him hanging himself. And it's really, he'd have to like be on his knees and lean forward or something, because you can't, there's nothing to jump off of. The ceiling is not like he was, he horizontal in the air hanging himself. Like, no, you, it's, he couldn't do it. The sheets are designed to tear so that you can't kill yourself. It's almost impossible to do. And he did it so violently to himself that he broke bones in his neck. And you're like, oh, really? Like every rich person in the world wants this guy dead. They don't want him doing the plea bargain, telling on people, which he absolutely do. So then it's like, oh, and the camera inside the cell didn't work? Really?
Just...
And it didn't like this. They have cameras in this, yeah, in, yeah, the shoe, it's called. And because all the people in the shoe are the worst, worst of the worst. Patrick Ho's in there, who got a diamond payment from Hunter Biden. That's a different story. But these kind of, you know, it's really bad people in there. The El Chapo and like the worst. And so there's what? Come on. He already had an attempted suicide or attack before. You better have a camera on this guy, right? He was hospitalized. So after a prisoner has been hospitalized, whether he did it to himself or his roommate did it or whatever, you need a camera. The camera wasn't working. The camera outside his door is conveniently where someone could, if they hug the wall, go in, out, and not be seen. And then the worst and stupidest thing they did is you can see in the metadata where the footage has been spliced and put together. I'm like, okay, so what happened in that the period where the film was cut and meets? The fact that you have all this circumstantial evidence and then forensic evidence that doesn't add up, you need a lot of coincidences for it to work. And then you find out, oh, really? The camera footage outside the cell was spliced together? Why? Because you're covering up someone going in there. And the only thing that actually does is it kind of exonerates his roommate, because otherwise just have the roommate kill him and no one has to go in or out of the cell and they just find him later, whatever. They'd moved him out though. And so he was in there alone and someone went in, took him out and left. And there is even some footage of somebody leaving in a prison uniform in orange, you know, but can't tell who it is. Big guy though. And CBS even covered this. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like he was clearly murdered. You knew he was going to be murdered. And I don't think the prison arranged this themselves. Oh, let's just kill our top prisoner, you know, and bring all the scrutiny on ourselves for losing Epstein. You know, it doesn't look good. The warden retired. The cops said they were asleep, the two people. I mean, no one checked on them like they're supposed to every 30 minutes go in and just look. And none of the protocol was followed. Someone from above had to order that hit. Well, who's above MCC? You got the governor of New York and the president of the United States. Who is the president of the United States when he was killed? Trump. Who's on the list. And Mark Epstein believes that Donald Trump had his brother killed. And if you read from Epstein's own words, when he talked about Trump, he's like, he's the gangster of all gangsters. That guy is worse than me. He's super scary. But that, so Epstein's own family member believes he was murdered and believes Trump ordered the hit. And I think of all the suspects, that's the most likely, because there aren't that many people who can order a hit, who can get into a maximum security prison. Da, 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 da. That would be the Gambino and stuff. Some of the, well, Trump, Trump's involved with them too, but they don't have that kind of pull anymore. And so the Clintons, Yeah, I mean, Hillary was a senator for New York for a while, and they would know enough people, but Trump's the most likely suspect that had him murdered. And this could be what they have on him, is not him banging kids. It's the fact that he ordered Epstein removed because Epstein had dirt on all of his donors.
Ryan, is the list coming out? The unadulterated, unfiltered, unedited, unredacted list? I mean, first of all, I'm curious as to your thought as to why the victims, why the victims are released, and we have so many redactions of people who shouldn't be redacted. And if you can tell me if that's coming out in two,
I'll tell you the first part of incompetence.
I'm sorry.
So what they did was they wanted to. It's so many names and so many files. They wanted to protect the names of the victims, is what they say. And what they did is they used AI and they automatically blacked out any female names. And I'm like, that's retarded, because all of Epstein's recruiters were also girls. Sarah Kellen and Leslie Groff and all, you know, all these girls that would go get the other girls and the ones that organize his massage books and all, they're all women. Glenn Maxwell too. Like, but they just autopilot. If it was a female name, it got blacked out. And I'm a dude, your job at the Justice Department is not to rely on AI to auto select any female names and protect them. You just need to figure out who's a victim and who ain't. And it'd be very easy if you see the same name over and over and over again, like Leslie Groff or Sarah Kellen, who both worked as desk girls for Epstein, unredact those so you can see when they're communicating to someone else. And they just didn't do it. And then there's so many other emails where it just so happens that very wealthy individuals have their name blotted out, and yet you can figure out who it is because you can compare it to the other court documents and other info we already had before the files were released. And you can count the letters and see how many long the name would be and it fits in and da 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 da. But you shouldn't have to do that. It's what people don't understand is they're kind of like relying on the TV to tell them the list and it's just like name it alphabetically or something. No, the way you get the list was by combining different sources and then cooperating. So first you have many victims who are still alive, who just tell you who raped them. They'll go, so-and-so did this to me, right out of their own mouth. You've got a bunch of paper documents because these files are mostly electronic communications, mostly emails. And not every email is a pervert talking about it's not just the emails between clients and Epstein. It's also tips the FBI got from QAnon and weirdos. So just because someone said, I saw him eating children on a boat, that's all made up. You know, it's just something that was received. The FBI looked at it, rejected it. It doesn't mean anything. But when you have an email between Epstein and Staley and they're talking to each other and bragging about what they did, that's solid. So just because something's in the file doesn't mean it's solid information. There's a bunch of crap in the file. I'm in the file 11 times myself.
You are?
I am. Yeah, you can put Ryan Dawson in there and find it. But what's interesting is I was in the file 21 times and a whole bunch of them got 10 of them got removed. I go, huh. And the only reason I know is somebody said, hey, you're in the file. So I went and looked for myself. I'm like, look at that. I got three pages. It was like 10, 10, and 1 or whatever. So I took a screenshot of it and stuff. I'm like, I'll read these later. And what was weird is like, these are like my Gmail messages with victims and stuff. I said, what, are you reading my mail? What? This isn't.
So is that allowed? Why are you in the Epstein files? Are they like looking? How did you get?
Well, yeah, I had nothing to do. I'm not a client or anything. It was me talking to victims.
Wow.
They basically were mad that I was on them. So they put me in there. They didn't put my email in there, but they put my first and last name and everything I wrote and all the responses. And I was like,
your interactions with the victims is what's in the episode.
Yeah, I'm talking to, I'm talking to certain whistleblowers and things, and kind of easy to deduce some of the people I'm talking to, but they did black it out. So I'll just leave it as Jane Doe's, but very, very well-known Epstein victims. Let's just say that. And I'm like, okay. And there's one with me reacting to Virginia Giuffre's death and da 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 da, because she did kill herself. And a lot of people thought she was murdered, which I understand, because anytime any Epstein person dies, like, where did they kill? It's reasonable assumptions. You know? Yeah. But she wasn't. But I needed them to know that, because if everyone's saying she was murdered, the other victims are scared to death that they'll be next and da da da. So I had to calm them down and say, look, she was self-medicating. She did whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff in the files that are just junk. And like, not every accusation is a fact. And people think they're worshiping Baal and eating kids. And like, none of that, nobody ate anybody. They're like, they had sulfuric acid on their island. They're disposing bodies in drums. I'm like, that's so stupid. It takes like a week to dissolve a body in a 55-gallon drum of sulfuric acid. It takes about an hour to just build a bonfire and throw it in there. You could just burn them. They had sulfuric acid for saltwater reverse osmosis, because those islands don't have fresh water. That is standard on rich people's islands. Like, and they have the orders, and the people went in and installed it and everything. Like, they were not disposing of bodies in acid. But this is the problem with there not being transparency. They find an email where they're ordering acid, and then their imagination goes nuts. And I'm like, if you guys were up front and didn't lie to them about everything else all the time, they wouldn't think like this, you know?
Hey, Ryan, as we wind down our time, I just want to ask you one last question. Is one, what are you wearing? What's that about? And two, how do people find you on ANC, and what's that about?
Just the top half, right?
Thank you, Ryan. One of my most interesting interviews, for sure.
No, so this is an Epstein hoodie that it actually has the handcuffs. Let me, if it could get a little closer on the ones that get arrested. You see Peter Thiel and all, like, I knew it before it was cool. It has handcuffs on the ones that got thrown in jail. It's got little black book for the ones that were also in his black book, because it's like a data point. If you're in the black book, that doesn't mean you're a pervert. It's just someone they knew. But if you're in the black book and you're in the emails and a victim or some other employee, a pilot, a chauffeur, a bodyguard is mentioning you, then it's, you know, okay, it's getting hard to spin it that you weren't doing anything evil. But they all have relationships with each other. And a lot of white collar crime was committed by Epstein at Tower Financial with Hoffenberg, at Bear Stearns with Ace Greenberg, at the things he did personally for Les Wexner, and tax evasion, enormous amount of money laundering, and not in a very clever way, like really stupid stuff. But he was just untouchable. And one of the things he did is he lowered the punishment. He got the regulators off the back for Edmund the Rothschild Bank for their participation in robbing the Malaysian sovereign wealth fund of billions, right? Huge financial crime. It's called the MD1 scandal. And it's weird. The Rothschilds are going to Epstein. You'd think it'd be the other way around. Like, no, they're going to him. He didn't work for them. They were begging him to get him out of trouble. So I have this all mapped out. This is not the whole ring. I'm not making, that would take like a Persian rug, you know. You can see this map in the background. Like, they get that complicated. But this is sort of the top, you know, lieutenants or whatever. And I wrote the clients on the back. And it's a fun conversation starter if you're that guy. You go wear this in a bar or a cafe or whatever. And they're like, what is that? Like, oh, it's the Epstein ring. Because people are like, where are the files? Where's the list? They're like, look, you're not going to get like a notebook with all the names on it in a locker somewhere. You have to compile the list by going through all the different files and figuring out who's doing what and their role in it. And some of them were, you know, Bill Gates is there. Bill Clinton's there. There's some big famous names. But I'm sorry to disappoint people. A lot of the people involved are just unheard of, boring, wealthy dorks that worked at management at, you know, like I'm at Capital. I'm like a global Apollo with Leon Black and Robert Kraft. Blah, blah. But they're not like famous. Ooh, it's not Leonardo DiCaprio or any of that. It's not Tom Hanks. It's although Kevin Spacey's there. He's a celebrity, I guess. There are some of those. Woody Allen's in there. He every Asian girl's worst nightmare. He's a famous producer and stuff who married his own adopted daughter. Weird. He's in there, but most of them are not exciting names. But I'm like, look, that's who runs the world, though. They don't want attention because they're criminals. Yeah. But they're all on here. And it's available at antineocon.com if somebody wants to get a hoodie. And then this is just ANC Report hat. They discontinued this. This is Adidas. I think they looked at my work and they're like, oh, cut him out. So can't get these anymore.
You there can't get Adidas. The Adidas version.
It's really Adidas. There really was. And that didn't last. So anyone that got this early, that's it. It's limited edition, not on purpose.
That's got to be worth.
I have a different hat. It's got a leather pat. It's pretty cool. It's not Adidas, but it costs less too. That's in the store. But wait, I've got the Epstein maps. I even put one. I just listed them all. I'm like, here you go. It's not anything fancy. It's just a list of all the perverts. And I put that on antineocon.com. It's like, there you go. Got them for 9/11 too. It's all on there. And that's what we wear. This is, I wear this around Korea and Japan, and most people in East Asia don't speak English, but they know who Epstein is. Like, that was a big story, right? And I'll
you
got to
start the conversation somehow, right?
Yeah, Nani just, I'm like, yeah, I'll explain it.
Well, Ryan, amazing. it's been a pleasure connecting again. I love to have you back. I learn so much every time. It's one of those things where it's not a pleasant conversation. It's entertaining, but it's not a pleasant conversation. It's one of those, red pill, blue pill matrix things, or, a few good men, you can't handle the truth sort of. Like feelings, but thank you, Ryan, for telling
us.
I'm
not a red pill. I'm the pill jar. I'm the whole jar of pills.
You're the whole jar of pills. I'll tell you that. It's something.
Like, open up.
Yeah, but
it is. It's. I don't understand what you mean. Like, it's not pleasurable, but in a way, it is. It's a white pill too. It's white and red because these guys did go to jail. They're like, no Epstein clients with the prison. I'm like, yes, they did. Maxwell went to jail. Burnell went to jail. Epstein went to jail. Rainier went to jail. A lot of them went to prison. They just didn't announce it, you know? And a lot of people lost their positions. They had to step down from very lucrative jobs. They got some punishment. Andrew got sued. Staley's being sued. Plaskett's being sued. The banks lost hundreds of millions of dollars, which for a bank is not that big deal, but it's a stain, you know? They had to pay. And we can get more. Like, this isn't over. They're being subpoenaed. Congress is on it. The files are out. Yeah, they're going to restart the war with Iran most likely again in the next few days. But I don't think this story is ever going away. I think it's so disgusting. What's worse than raping kids, you know, besides voting for Lindsey Graham? Like, what's worse? Nothing. You know?
Ryan, for our listeners who want to learn more, find you interesting, want to find your socials or website, could you give us your socials, website, how people can find you?
Yeah, it's my name, ryandawson.org. That is, it's called Substack. It's where all the smart people are. And then I'm not allowed on any other socials other than Twitter. So it's Rye Liberty, R-Y and the word Liberty. And I've got like 325,000 followers on there. It's not bad, but it would be in the millions, but I wasn't allowed on Twitter until Elon Musk bought it. Like, I just wasn't allowed anywhere. So, but the main thing is ryandawson.org. I do have ANC Report. I've been kicked off Stripe. They're holding hundreds of thousands of dollars that they won't give me. I'm like, well, then give it back to the customer. I'm arguing with them about this right now. Like, you either give it to me or you give it back to them. You can't just sit there and hold it.
No.
Anyway, yeah. So Substack's where it's at.
Awesome. Ryan, thanks so much for your time. This is just Steve Yang learning from people smarter than me or more informed or more connected. And Ryan, I learned so much from you. So thank you for your time.
I'm not smarter than you. This is just knowledge. It's just, this is my niche.
No, thanks for sharing. All right, bye.
You're welcome.